Joyce, Fauzi, Chris, Allison, and Jonathan Joel.
Jonathan?
Do y'all have a choice?
I was really hoping that this wouldn't be brought up today.
When did the thought of leaving start popping into your mind?
I don't know if you can actually say.
The reunion you've all been waiting for. This is your daily catch-up.
Who?
Who are they?
NOC. Boom.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So you may or may not notice a few familiar faces around me right now. You've seen them play games. You've seen them travel. You've seen them try lots and lots and lots of things. They're the OG cast members of The Smart Local. Welcome to the show, Joyce, Fauzi, Chris, Allison, and Jonathan Joe.
I didn't know we were included.
Yeah, that's right. And you may also seen the news.
Yeah, you also. Right. What the hell?
I've been on one episode of Zula.
So
it's been a while since most of you left TSL, and in the spirit of friendship and Mother's Day, which is upcoming, we've gathered you guys here for a little reunion, family reunion.
Wait, who's your mother?
Yeah, what? I was confused.
No, I just want to give a shout out to all mothers.
To Ryan Chu, our original mother.
Shout out! Boss
man. I didn't know we're at that part of the episode.
So fast.
I mean, everybody kind of knows where the both of you are at now. Yeah, so maybe here. Chris can start. What did you do immediately after you left TSL and where are you at now?
Right, so after I left TSL, I went into a travel company right before COVID hit. So perfect timing. perfect timing. After many other steps in between, I am at quite a big media company where I am actually working with sales and editorial teams to kind of make them be friends.
Search is LinkedIn.
Honestly, just search our LinkedIn, you'll find out. Yeah.
My LinkedIn is not updated.
Oh, okay.
So you're hearing it here first. Okay, how about you, Fauzi?
So I haven't left that long ago. I left maybe about 9 months ago.
One pregnancy ago. Exactly. Shout out to all mothers.
Happy Mother's Day.
I have gone completely freelance now. So doing a couple of shows here and there, doing my own content. Doing a bit of consulting as well.
Okay, we'll hear more about that later. Next up, Joyce!
I left in 2021. So actually right now I'm doing freelance writing and I'm also training to be a psychotherapist. Ooh. So that's what I've been up to.
So you're going to clinical psych?
Not clinical psych, counselling.
I'm not sure the difference, but maybe more on that later too.
Shout out to mental health.
And mothers who have good mental health. Let's go down the line, right? And then I want you all to share your first impression of each other when you all first joined
TSL.
Wow. Long hair.
Oh.
She had long hair?
Yeah. And she had bangs, remember? And
yes, I remember.
When I first joined.
And weird puzzle games that she brings to you occasionally. Wait, who was the first to join TSL?
Chris.
Chris, right?
Employee then, number one.
Oh my god, you're really number
is
one.
Is this order law, Chris, me, Joyce?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Then Denise, Ellie.
No.
The reverse. Okay.
So what was your first impression of him?
Chris? Chris interviewed me, ma.
Huh?
So I remember the interview. The thing is, my interview was very interesting because it was Brian, the boss. It was Chris and Cheryl, who was actually an intern. And my first impression was I was most afraid of Cheryl, the intern, because she had such a stoic face that I felt like she was the boss. Then the other two, I was like, okay, seems like nice people. Yeah.
So his first impression is seems like nice people.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really have much of an impression in a sense, because I was just like breaking it, right? It's an interview. And that was like my first interview for a job after I graduated from university.
Yeah. So did you have to dance or sing?
No lah!
I was had into.
What
the
heck? What are you interviewing for?
No, John Paul was in my interview with Brian. No, then at that point of time, there was this very famous song, you know, the last night, I think it was like a trending song.
Yes.
So they heard I was a dancer, then they were like, oh my god, like, can you create a dance to go viral in Singapore?
Who is they?
No, Brian.
They all. Then John Paul, just the whole interview, he just looked at me stoically like this. Then I misinterpreted
You miss what?
I misinterpreted.
Okay, never mind. Read the subtitles for this part.
I thought they meant do the dance, but in a Singapore context.
Oh.
But they meant create a new dance. So they play the song, then I just did this, but then I did like the national thing.
Like
the pledge
thing. That's so stressful.
Yeah, so I did it, right? Then after the interview, I was like, I'm not going to get this job. Like, it was so bad. Like, the reaction was like a bit like off. Then after that, John Paul called me. Congratulations.
Who interviewed me? Brian interviewed me. Yeah.
Only?
I think so, eh.
Not Chris, eh?
No, I
didn't interview Joyce.
I don't have a single memory of this interview.
There's a very funny story because I actually found an article of yours online. And I brought the article to Brian. I was like, this writer is very good.
Oh.
And then Brian was like, she's really joining us.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm glad. Meanwhile, my impression of you, right, is... You offered me this like Reese Buttercup thing.
Oh my god.
Because he went to the office pantry at the back, right? Then he came out. Then he was kind of like prancing on the way back.
Prancing?
Then he spotted me. Then he's like, do you want one? Then I said, no, I'm waiting for an interview.
Then he said, yes.
That is so Chris.
It's so
funny. Like the snack changes from year to year. But then like the whole like routine.
Yeah. Every time there's a new person in there, you can pick a new snack.
It's so funny.
Yeah. And then my first impression of Fauzi was, I think I had to go over and talk to you. I can't remember if you were wearing a hat or not.
Like,
you told me
specific.
That you were studying theatre.
I was, yeah.
But last time you were scary, I feel.
That's what everybody said about me, though.
No, the first day of my internship, I walked in, right? And then his screen only covered just nice until his nose. So he just side-eyed me like that. And then he go back to working.
The thing is, I don't remember this.
With little unicorn at the side. Then I was like, I thought this guy's supposed to be like friendly. Then after you, the next person I had to see is John Paul.
Exactly.
Then I thought he'll be like, hello, welcome to your first day. He just turned and he like... just sit over there. And I was like, wow.
Nice. Actually, I hear that a lot. Like, John is very different off screen from on screen.
No, but in preparation for this episode, I went to dig up a lot of old videos, right? And then I heard John's voice. I mean, number one, he have hair. Then number two, his voice is so high pitched, right? It's like, okay, Joyce, you go in first.
I sent her the Japan video.
Oh my god, Japan!
Yeah, then he had to film you, like, you know, we like going through like this like very dark like Kowloon City kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Then John had to like voice like, oh my god, where are we going? But then it was like a super high pitch, like.
Oh my
but it's
god.
Like he purposely one lah.
No yeah, he purposely.
Oh, purposely one.
Yeah lah.
No, the first video he never talked at all. The kuti kuti one. Right?
Yeah. The whole time just like. That's all I did.
It's Jonathan's first video.
Wow.
Is it? Oh my god! Yeah. I suddenly have an intrusive memory.
Please, go for it.
Remember when y'all did the LTA thing?
Oh.
What's that? He had to be a baby.
Why you bring it up?
You had to be a baby.
Where's the video? Okay. Is it online?
Yes. So we basically recreated the LTA, the Backdown Benny, the ad, you know, the ad.
Okay.
Like frame for frame, we tried to recreate it.
Is it on YouTube?
Are you also inside?
His face is photoshopped to a baby.
It wasn't photoshopped. He was physically there in a towel.
LTA liked it so much, they actually sent us like a gift or something.
Y'all have a few like comedy videos together that are quite memorable.
Honestly, yeah,
including this one where John has long hair.
What's this?
Y'all were doing a pillow talk parody.
Oh my god!
You had like a beard.
You were Zane.
Yeah.
The worst part of that shoot was the mayonnaise.
Mayo drip on his face.
Yes!
But this is a PG show, I think. So just now, we also did bring up another core memory from TSL, which is Jonathan.
Oh.
So, I haven't asked my question. Do y'all have a choice?
Oh.
Did we have a choice?
Like, was it something that was talked through with the both of you, right, before your... The editor like made it a thing, you know?
Yeah, I really appreciate this question. I've never been asked this question before.
Yeah, see, just now.
Do you remember how it was created?
I don't remember. I think the viewers created it.
No, it was actually the editor that created it. If I'm not wrong. The intention was they pair us together. Then, right, they will just force the couple edits out. So in reality, right, we never do anything on it. I just look at her waiting for her to say something or what, right? Because at that point, I couldn't speak, right? Then they were just editing to look like I look at her romantically. You know what I mean?
Then the rose petal for them.
Yeah.
And Korean drama music somehow. Then from that point on, then it just kept happening. The comments were responding to it very well. Yeah.
Well, this is brand new information to me. I didn't know that it's premeditated. I always thought that it was viewers, like the viewers shipping.
Yeah, yeah, I also thought.
Right, right, right.
So you just went along with it.
Yeah, because you know what? We got to travel to a lot of places. Yeah. As and all the travels are what I remember of my time there. Mm. Yeah, so really, like, it's worth it, lah. Even though I can't remember if we had a choice, but like, no regrets.
It was fun.
Mm. Yeah.
I unlocked something else.
Someone, oh, no. What is this?
I unlocked something else. She's a startup.
Yeah, it's... Oh! Joyce just...
I want to put it out there, right?
That was fun.
That I sacrificed myself, okay?
Yeah. And you also sang.
I was really hoping that this wouldn't be brought up today.
No, it's good because we can clarify.
That's why I'll be my girl.
That's a lie. I can screenshot our chat.
I totally didn't cross my mind.
Oh
my
no, God, but okay. I have to say that we did it for a good cause, you know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see.
What's the cause?
We agreed to do that, right?
Yeah.
So that the show will end. Yeah. Oh. So that the team that was handling it can stop lah.
But why is the three?
I don't know. I'm stressed. I'm remembering the whole.
Yeah, it's a bit like Game of Thrones season 8 because the end was just so weird. You guys just were put
together. What a
Game of Thrones.
When y'all act together, right, was it awkward?
It was damn awkward.
Yeah, cannot even act. It's not even acting.
Yeah, sorry, mate. How with Chinese
song looking out.
You know what's the most awkward part, right? That's, okay, I don't want to say because I scared
the
grand.
The whole thing. Is it whole hand?
Damn
no,
it.
No. I don't
know. The J. Chow song.
Wow, they weren't really gonna force, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the badminton?
No, it's the part where we had to sit at the fountain.
Wow,
then like
what fountain?
Okay, that's why it's good that you're that was the most awkward one for me. And to make things worse, right, there was one Chinese New Year celebration where my cousins pulled out that video in front of the extended family. Yeah.
Is that why you're going to therapy? Wow, shit.
You know where I drew the line? It was when like they suggested that they sell us as a couple on a red card so that we can get clients like jewelry clients. Then I'm like, oh, f*** that. like, do you even know us? But like, obviously, none of us will agree to that. Like, it's like the business dilemma. We both know we were saying no, right?
Yeah.
That's where we drew the line, I guess.
No, but did that require you all to say post on your personal Instagrams? Or it's like just a...
No, of
YouTube?
Course, of course. Oh. Like to sell us as talents, but like a two-in-one sort of thing. Mm. Yeah.
Ooh. I'm also a bit curious, right? Because, I mean, when you think about places like the Smart Local, it's genuinely a fun place to work. And then especially a lot of people, you go in around the same age, right? So then you make a lot of real friends there. So I'm wondering, like, when did the thought of leaving, right, start popping into your mind?
Okay.
Y'all say first.
Ladies first.
I think I had thoughts of leaving twice during my time at TSL. So one was, I think, around the midpoint. It's just the feeling that like it's the same thing over and over again already. So then I was a bit like, I don't know what I want to do. And then maybe I can go explore something else already. But then I felt like there was a lot of things that I needed to, how do I say, like leave in good hands before I can move on. Mm. And then that apparently kept me around for another maybe one plus years or so. Yeah. Then all the way towards the end already, then I was starting to feel like very, very burnt out. Mm. Then at that point, then I decided, okay, I actually took a 1 month sabbatical or something like that to decide. Then when I came back, then I really felt like, wow, I cannot come back to this. Then that's when I decided to leave.
It's quite curious for me because around the period where I joined, you all actually started this crazy like upload schedule where I think it was like every day you wanted to upload something. Then that was when you all did the MRT station. Then after that, slowly it fell off. Then it became 3 times a week. And then,
yeah, then like, you know what happened? He passed it to me.
So he left it in good hands. Oh,
For Allison, right, was him leaving like kind of a trigger for you also?
A little bit, but not like cause of his presence, but more
because of the work. Presence.
No, as in because I know that we'll be friends after work. Like it doesn't matter about the friendship thing. I personally, at that point of time, didn't really like to be in a managerial or leadership position. I mean, now a bit the same, but at that time, I feel like I was quite stressed out by it because there were things going in my life, like because my mom passed in that same year. So I felt like it was a lot to take in, like I didn't have the right mental capacity to take on the role that was passed on to me. So as I tried for a bit, that's why in the end I felt like I couldn't take it up, hence I left for a break.
So both of y'all left without a backup plan in a sense, like without another job in mind.
Yeah.
You all just left and wanted to take a break.
I think I gave myself a year off la, to go and just explore and do things that I wanted to do, travel. Then lucky, yeah, because 2019 you travel like one dog, right? Then 2020 kena the COVID, that thing. Yeah.
I mean, no, remember really the one year we go on a lot of trips together.
Yeah, that year, 2019.
Like we go New York, then we go Japan, then we like,
then they suddenly cannot.
Yeah. I mean, on that note, I think it's a good point for me to bring up our sponsors for today's episode, which is NTUC's Employment and Employability Institute, also known as E2I. We actually did a previous episode in collaboration with them as well, where we actually got to speak to a career coach. Mm. And one thing that she mentioned was that something very important to consider before you make a career change, right, is you need to be very clear about your reasons for wanting to leave. And then you need to think about your financial readiness. You need to think about whether you have transferable skills or be able to identify skill gaps. And then, like, whether there is support from family or friends, or like other people such as career coaches, right, to help you navigate through this period of time.
Wait, this context is like leaving any job or a career switch?
Both, actually. It's because even if you move to a different company, right, like now, like when I think about my role in this company, if I want to say move to an MNC or go in-house and all that, right, I don't think that there's a direct job match for me. So when I find, right, then it's like, for example, now I'm a content strategist, then after I go out there, then I become like a producer, which might lean a lot more towards like organizational side of things versus like getting to ideate for campaigns and then executing and then also editing, you know, which is the creative aspect that I enjoy more also.
I don't think Brian even remembers this, but when I first joined, right, I was dead broke. For the very first month, I actually asked for an advance.
Were you fresh out of uni?
Yes. Okay. So I was like very, very indebted to him from the very start. So I always had this at the back of my mind where I was like, I will only leave if he asked me to leave. But there came a point where I was there for 6 years already and I was like, I'm not doing more than what I could.
I think because at that point, so you were in editorial for most of your TSL life, right? And then you moved up to become group editor, including MSN. So then it did come to a point where it's like, what's next for you?
I was so comfortable. I was so comfortable that there was this plan that Brian had where he wanted to, I don't know if you can actually say, hide my position, send me somewhere for an internship, just so that I can work under somebody else.
Like undercover boss?
Under what?
Undercover boss.
No, not like that.
Oh my god, it's so undercover. That is my first time hearing it.
Yeah, I never heard this before.
No, it was a plan that we actually discussed because one of the issues that he had with me as an employee is that I've never worked under somebody else before.
Oh.
I've always been the manager, but I've never...
you're number one.
Yeah. We were discussing going to Japan for a while because nobody knew who I was there. Oh god, Singapore was very hard because it was like high profile.
Oh. But how you write in Japanese?
It have to be English lah.
Oh.
Yeah, but it never happened lah, so...
What a way to solve stagnation. Usually people send you for causes. Yeah. But then, you know, this one ship you over to Japan to be...
Never happened, so it's fine.
Okay, so according to order of leaving, Joyce.
That's me. When I joined, I did ask myself how long I plan to stay here. And I didn't have an answer. I just told myself that I will know when it's time to leave. And then things got so fun that... time just flew by very quickly. Suddenly it's like you're 3 years in. This is not a good practice, but I don't think I've ever even checked if like my employer paid me once. I've never checked if like, oh, the CPF was contributed, blah blah blah. And then came 2018, and this was also when I went for my first sabbatical. At the point of time I was very burnt out. I thought I was ready to leave, but for some reason during that 4 month sabbatical in 2019,
four months.
Like y'all, I also travel like dog in 2019. And then during that time, I realized that, oh, I actually miss work. Maybe I don't want to quit after all. And then I went back. I had all these ideas of what I wanted to do. Then I realized that, like, actually all this time, I've never really asked myself what I wanted in a career.
Right.
And I have just been like going with the flow and relying on a lot on very extrinsic motivation, like having friends, getting to go for trips, like getting perks like this. So during COVID, I mean, it's a cliche, but when I really took stock of what I wanted and what's next for me, it seemed like what's next for me would be a business role. Brian actually sounded out the option of doing an MBA and then coming back to TSL. But when I looked at the MBA curriculum, I thought like none of this interests me, like not a single module interests me. And then that was also when I started looking at like, what are some other masters that people can take? And then I realized that I was so much more drawn to this area.
This area is in psychology.
Yeah, I didn't act on it then. I went on to continue pursuing a career in media for another 8 months.
I think it's also interesting because like in such a young company, right, like a lot of times like the role can be adapted to what you are interested in or your shifting interest. And I think Fauzi can probably relate the most to that, right? So how did that decision then build up to you realizing that actually, this is not the place for you anymore.
Damn. My time in TSL is very colourful because I did so many different things. I felt like every couple of years, I did something different. But yeah, I think Allison knows this. The fact is, throughout my entire time, I always talk about leaving.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I was waiting. So there was one time when I just converted to full-time in 2017, like January 2017. It was my first time going with Fauzi, and I don't know, he was a bit emotional. Yeah. Then he was like, I'm going to write my letter and throw it on the table tomorrow. Then I was like, huh, why? Then I was like a bit trying to like convince him to like, okay, don't do anything rash. Like, what if you don't throw tomorrow? Like, you know, you wait on it. Then I was like, no, I'm going to throw my letter.
Big drama, Fauzi.
Yeah. Was he still studying theatre at that point?
I don't know, but we stayed there from like 7 to 10 p.m. talking about this letter.
Yes.
But the next day, then suddenly you are okay. It was like maybe a client or something that made you a bit emotional. And then you were just like a bit like, I'm going to stop this. Every year after that, I would joke with Fauzi.
Yeah.
Where's the letter?
Because you never do the 4 out of 5 items on the...
Wait! No. But I think why or how I came to decide to leave was that I think the year prior, so 2022, I did take a bit of a sabbatical to do a couple of things.
All of y'all did sabbaticals.
Yeah.
I think he should stop letting people go. Sabbatical.
That's the running thing, actually. Brian's always afraid of like letting people go on sabbaticals because he's afraid that they will leave after. And the
Which
trend
is very understandable.
The trend is yes.
Yes.
You got no sabbatical?
No, never.
Okay.
Silent and ninja.
Like,
somehow that's worse though.
So like 2022, I wanted to go back into the theatre space, and then the opportunity for me to be in a musical came up.
Was it the Lee Kuan Yew one?
Yes.
Great, I watched it.
Yeah. So that opportunity came up, and during that period of time, I also did go to New York on a program. Like, it's a bit like a career program to kind of work with mentors in New York City. So all these mentors in New York City, they really helped me open my eyes and think like, hey, actually, you are more capable than you think you are. I think for the longest time when I was in TSL, right, I felt like my value was because of the company, not so much about my own personal value. It made me realize, actually, I have a lot of like imposter syndrome. I feel like I'm never good enough. But then when I meet people who are actually affirming the fact that I actually can do stuff, it really made me realize, have I been in a company for so long that I don't realize that I can do more outside? So I felt like I was very stagnant. In January of 2023, I made the decision that I wanted to leave. I did tell Brian and that point my direct supervisor that I was going to leave in 6 months. So I was very nice. I gave them a very fair warning because at that point I was also like a HOD level. If I were to just leave, it will have to be thrown away to someone else. So I wanted to be responsible enough to give the next person in line adequate training to be able to take over the role. But yeah, long story short, the person who took over me also left. No, I mean, actually.
See, you look at me, but 6 months, no use.
Wait, it's so, like that,
so since it's like it's quite fresh, right? Leaving the company, did it feel scary immediately after, like the next day when you are like no longer an employee?
I think because like it was 6 months for me, that 6 months was also used for me to plan what I was going to do, right?
Yeah.
That's where I got like very hungry. I went to reach out to a lot of people on LinkedIn to see like if there are any opportunities and then put out a notice that I was going to leave. And actually very fortunate enough to have a lot of people reach out to me and say like, hey, I really want you to help me do this, then that. So I'm very fortunate to have these kind of contacts.
So you kind of just roll into the next kind of like stage of life.
It was very, I would say again, for me, I don't know why. Have I been like accumulating so much good karma in my life that timing is always so good for me?
Right.
Because immediately when I left, right, I landed another YouTube channel show that really lined up. I was lining up a lot of different other projects as well. So that kind of, you know, gave me the assurance that I'm not going to die, lah.
For the rest of you, right, I mean, especially maybe John Paul, like after taking a year off, was it difficult to get back into that rhythm of like a job search?
No way. So immediately after I left TSL, I did think of like what other opportunities do I want to explore before I decide, okay, I'm going to take a year off. So I went to reach out to companies that I knew I would be interested in and companies that I knew I had something to offer to. And then I go speak with these like bosses or whoever they are. Lah. Both ways, we either decided it wasn't a good fit or it wasn't the right time, whatever. So then I decided to take a year off. Mm. And then when Circuit Breaker hit, one of those people that I contacted back then and had coffee with reached out to me. And that's why I'm here now.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, not bad. Mine was damn difficult. Because I'm not very good at selling myself, as in at an interview. And I struggle with the resume thing because I always do like those like very creative resume, got a lot of pictures, right? Mm. But then people want like the boring kind, like, you know? Oh. So like when I decided to get a job, right, I like had a good like 6 months of just trying interview after interview.
But you got done, right?
Don't have lah.
That's why you never get in.
That's why.
No, you know, okay, I learned this also because I was prepping for the episode, right? Actually, a lot of resumes get rejected because they put picture. Mm-hmm. So a lot of like bigger companies also, right, they use this applicant tracking system, which is called ATS.
Oh, yeah.
And then, right, because they pick up keywords in your resume. So if you're putting random pictures and all that, right, they actually deem that as not a very suitable one. And actually about 75% of resumes get rejected because of they don't have the right keywords. This is a good time to also mention that E2I has a resume builder.
What's
so
that?
Essentially they help you like build and format your resumes to optimize for this ATS.
Oh.
To identify a good resume.
Wow.
Chrisla is going for interview.
Huh? I like going for interview.
As in, you told me before you think interviewing is
fun.
Oh
yeah. I feel that even if you are comfortable in a job, you should be passively looking for jobs elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Because firstly, that gives you an idea of your market value. It also gives you an idea of whether or not you really want to be there. A lot of people are in their jobs because it's the easy way out.
Mm-hmm.
Because they simply don't know what else is out there. Mm-hmm. But if you get offered a position, you get your market value, whether or not if it's higher than what you have here, then it is leverage if you want to negotiate for a raise.
Yep.
If it's lower, then you know that you are having a good deal here. The other thing also is that if you are looking for a job because you have to, you usually have a lot less bargaining power.
Yeah.
And you're desperate. The best time to look for a job is when you don't need to.
Well, I find it so interesting that you're saying this because it's making me look at, I mean, you can call it a job, you can call it work, you can call it career, right? But it's such a big core part of a person's life,
yes.
Right?
Identity also.
Yeah. And you're making me look at it the same way I would look at other aspects of my life, like a relationship, right? You need to develop these technical skills and apply these, like,
huh? That means you
like basically looking for the next relationship.
You have a girlfriend,
no, but you're consciously applying a method or a strategy or technique to make yourself be actively aware that this is the best thing for you and you're taking care of it. Yeah. Rather
example.
So that means when you're in a relationship, you go to the club, then you look. Am I attracted to anyone?
They have their tin foil. My girlfriend is best.
Yes.
If I go out,
if
she's
tempted,
hot.
No, it's the
editor,
wrong
please
one.
Cut this part off, please.
So before the episode filming, we also got you to submit some questions that we could ask the E2I career coaches for some advice about, right? And I mean, I picked out some of like the insightful answers that hopefully can also be of use to our viewers who are thinking about a job switch or thinking about upskilling. Joyce, the question that she asked, for someone who might want to move to a new industry, what are some transferable skills you can bring along to any organization? And the answer from Vivian, hello Vivian, who is from our previous episode as well. Vivian did come up with a top list.
Oh, okay.
So there are three main areas. One is critical thinking. The second one is interaction with others. And the third is staying relevant. I mean, they're
all skills.
Soft skills. Yeah, see, something that she did mention in our previous episode is also right. A lot of times people go to career coaches and then they don't realize that what they can actually do are considered strengths. And then so that's what the career coach then helps you to do, to work through that, identify strengths or identify skill gaps, right? And then after that, help you build on that and then like go through an interview. I mean, it's free, so you can call them up. The question that Fauzi submitted, actually, we did touch on also. So how do you know when it's time to move on from a job and explore other opportunities? And I think something that most of y'all did mention was feeling very burnt out. This other coach, Coach Eric, did say, you're going to feel like you're dragging your feet to work every day, lah. And then it could be a case where you feel like your career progression is going nowhere. But then when you're considering another job, right, you ask like where do you start? Ask yourself, do I know what I'm good at, what I want as a job, what I need to be good at, and how to get there? So if your answer is no, then perhaps you can also seek help from a career coach to help you identify these. And then if your answer is yes, then it can help you to map your next steps forward. Mm. Yeah. So I thought that was quite interesting. Lastly, Chris asked an interesting question. He talked about the Tangping life. It's an anti-hustle culture kind of belief. They have no
China.
Yeah. Okay. So they have no desire to climb the career ladder and they just want to do like the bare minimum to coast through my role.
Tangping is life flat.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like planking.
Oh, Tangping. I thought like Tangping like enter army.
Yeah, I said Tangping.
Not so life flat.
So he wanted to ask the career coach like, what advice would you give to someone who wants that? Because in our current, when you go interview, right, then people try to ask you what is your 5-year plan, what is all that. Then you want to say like, oh, I don't want, I just want to stay in like the base level. Cannot be, right?
It's quite common now.
I was going to say that.
It is a very, very common thing now.
Yeah.
Because social media keeps telling us, oh, just do what you're paid to do.
Yeah. Don't do more.
Nobody likes it when they're being served by somebody who's doing what they're paid to do only.
Yeah.
Right. It is terrible.
But the Tangping person wouldn't even go to a career coach, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, we should not ask the question.
True.
Yeah, so just clip out whatever Chris said and then comments attack.
Yeah, so this coach's question was actually that like a lot of people who feel like they want to live the Tangping life, right, don't realize that they actually still need to find the right job fit. So you will find yourself very miserable, right? Even if you're doing the bare minimum in a job that is totally not aligned with your values and your working pace.
Bit testing.
Yeah, so, water slide testing also exists.
Mm,
yeah.
Perfect.
So, you may not want to climb the corporate ladder, but coach says you do owe it to yourself to find out what you enjoy doing and are competent in. Then you can go and look for a suitable organization or career path.
Actually, I want to build on the last part. Because I think when you talk about like career switches, right, people always think about what are the most lucrative industries to switch to, what's popular right now and all that, right? But then if you don't really stop to ask like what is unique about your needs and wants, then you are going to be ushered in a direction with immense competition. Because there's going to be like so many other people who is thinking the same thing, go for tech. Go for digitalization. Then it becomes very tiring because the process of leaving a job and starting a new one, right, is actually very, very taxing.
Right.
And sometimes if you can afford it, having some time and space to recalibrate yourself and figure out the direction, right, it'll make so much more sense rather than like you keep joining and leaving and joining and leaving. It's exhausting.
The problem is that they're not doing what they want. They're doing what society tells them they want.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if you don't know what you want, people are quite eager to tell you what you want.
So then what does figuring out what you want and what does recalibration look like?
There's a question I asked my friends. Two different kinds of questions. The first is, if every job that you did paid the same amount of money, doesn't matter if it's $1,500 or $10,000, what would you do? Would you be an administrator somewhere? Would you want to work at Disney? What would you do? Would it be in Singapore? Would it be overseas? What would you do? And then work towards that. The second way to do it is to ask yourself, what do you do for fun that people think is hard? I have friends who watch football and they immediately like see tactics. They see tactics and they can understand and explain to people. I can't do that. They can find a way to do what they really want to do and then find a way to monetize that. Now everything can be monetized. It is how you do it, how you find a way, your own specific, special way to do it.
Can I add a third question? I think the third question might be, what's something that when you do it right, like you lose sense of time? Not just on the 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. way, but like even weeks, months and years, right? What's something that doesn't make you count down to Friday and have the Sunday scaries? What's something that doesn't make you look at the clock when it's 4 p.m. then you're like, oh shit, I still got 2 more hours, you know? And like make you like defer all your fun activities to the end of the week.
I wanted to say like off the top of my head it's like play game useless, but in fact play game not useless in our current day and age. So
I guess like all these questions you have to find the sort of intersection law. Like maybe not just what you're fun that is hard for other people, but what you're good at. Even if you don't really find that fun, it might be a stepping stone in some way also.
Looking back, right, what is maybe something you wish you knew before you left your previous job role when you were considering a job switch?
Do it! The first time round. Do it.
Why? Yeah.
Because you can always go back. You can change environment and then find yourself. Like, your exposure to things that are uncomfortable and things that are different will be the best reflection of will be the best mirror to show you who you are, what you need and what you don't need. But if you just stay in the same place, then you're stuck in the same cycle.
John, I think you're right, but you're also very resilient. I think a lot of people are not as resilient.
Stop being like me.
No, but it's true. I feel like a lot of people, they will do that and then they'll give up after a while.
Mm. Right.
And also this is provided that you know you can go back to that.
Yeah.
To go back to whatever is comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. So the advice is to go look for the E2I person.
Yeah. Not a career coach, put down here.
But I do see something about cutting your losses. Like maybe the first time you feel it, right? Actually, it sounds like a lot of the people who have left, they started thinking about
look at me.
They started ideating about living like for a really, really long time.
Yeah, like 8 years.
Before. So attacked right now.
Personal attack.
Yeah, like, and during this time, right, if you see that you are just withering away, like at one point when I looked at my resume, I realized that actually in the last year, I have nothing to add. I cannot add another bullet point because I've just been doing the same thing. So that was quite the wake-up call. So even if you're not looking for a job, right, I think it's a good practice to regularly update your resume. Also because like I read somewhere that it helps you with your imposter syndrome also.
Right.
Because you are like catching your past self up with what you can do now.
Right.
So it is quite a good practice to take stock of like whether it's time to bounce.
A lot of it has to do with feeling and that gut feeling that all of you have, right? That tells you whether like, is it time to quit? You question it. It's a gut feeling that you sense. Or even like if you want to, for example, like Joyce was talking about going to into a different industry and then you have to go and find that for yourself. And it feels right, right? Then you go and pursue and see what happens, right? Like I think people need to trust that a little bit more. Yeah. Okay, lah, cool.
Actually,
whatever.
Actually, like, I don't know how. I'm just thinking, like, with all the news of the layoffs, right? Can they really be empowered to, like, just up and go and cut their losses and follow their gut feeling, you know? Like, it would be quite scary, I imagine, like, to do it.
Therefore, a career coach can help you. Because we actually asked Vivian whether or not she feels like we are really going into, like, a job recession.
Yeah.
And then she said that actually, like, I mean, what you see in the news is what is big news. Yep. And there are actually a lot of sectors that might not be laying off. And then so they are able to do this job matching for you because they've also partnered with a lot of companies, like local ones and all that. Then they help you see like where is the gap, lor. And then join.
Let's say I just curious. I want to talk to a career coach, see if they can match me somewhere. But actually, I don't want, but just more curious. Can not?
What do you mean?
Like, I'm curious to see like what's my market value. You know what I mean?
This got deep.
No, you can because they not only help you find job, they also help you upskill.
Wait, is it free?
It's free.
Yeah, sure.
Go check. Go check. What's the link? What's the link?
Wait, like so they can tell you like how much you can command.
No lah, I mean like, hey, you maybe you want to consider a job in this.
Yeah, yeah. Because you don't know what opportunities exist, right?
Yeah.
Exactly, and they know because they got the resources.
Maybe I want to work in a.
So you know, like I asked her like. If when I think about going to tech, right, then I think about I need to be a coder. But in fact, there are a lot of other jobs within the tech industry that can use your transferable skill.
Yeah.
So that was quite interesting.
It's free.
It's free.
John, you gonna do?
He never.
He's like more appealed by the fact.
No, I thought this kind of thing must pay, ma.
Yeah.
If not really, why everybody not doing?
No, because it's just by NTUC, so it's free.
I love that.
I think
must be what NTUC member.
No.
Huh?
No,
Nibo member.
Just go to
Nibo. Nibonian. What
is Nibo?
It's
like
their youth arm.
Youth arm.
You stay in Tanjung Pagar, you don't know. One.
We still youth.
And that's it for today. A big thank you to Chris Fauzi and of course Joyce for joining us on the show. Hopefully it won't be another 5 years before y'all get to reunion. Okay, stop reading. And once again, this episode was brought to you by NTUC's Employment and Employability Institute, also known as E2I. They have just opened a brand new career centre at 1 Marina Boulevard at Raffles Place. And on top of that, they also have 25 other touch points where you can contact career coaches and get the help that you need. So do check out this QR code or this link to book an appointment if you're interested. We will also put more links down in the description where you can go and find out more information about E2I's complimentary services such as workshops, job matching and career fairs. Thank you for watching. We'll see you in the next episode. Bye bye.
Breathe, Denise, breathe.
Just call me Eminem.
There was like ghost stories or so. Like,
I remember we had CCTV footage.
I still have it. Victoria.
Yeah. Vicky. The door closed by itself. Yes, then yes, she lay back, she playing game. Yeah.
No, she watching Ellen.
Then she look around. No, then she stressed.
This is like the funniest story to me. I will never forget this because our toilet door, it was suddenly like it opened. And we were all shooting outside. Except for her. She was watching something while playing her phone at the point in time. So when she saw the door open, the first thing she knew to do was not to run.
Change the Premiere Pro.
No, she changed the window.
She called it would be like,
she called
it suspicious.
Oh my god.
Vicky, I love it.
That was funny. Iconic.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.